So 2020 has been a record-breaking year for the firearms industry, and that's been going on since February. The craziness of people that have been rushing into the store trying to buy guns, ammunition, has not stopped since Corona happened, and it has been a crazy environment to work in. So in this episode, I'm really going to be touching on why it's so hard for us to get a lot of that inventory back in stock, as well as what it's been like working in this industry. So if you don't want to hear me go on random tangents, then you don't want to listen to this. Before I really get into this episode, I did just want to say it was announced Friday that President Trump and the First Lady Melania Trump had been tested positive for COVID-19, and I would like to publicly say that I am sending my thoughts and prayers to the Trump family, as well as the whole Trump campaign going through this difficult time. Having that kind of sickness is very unfortunate, and I really would just like to send them my thoughts and love and prayers throughout this, and that I hope they recover very quickly and that they recover well. So thank you. Let's get into the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Pews in Politics. I'm your host, Lauren Yodache, and I don't know what I'm going to do if I have another person ask me if we have any 380 in stock, because I've been hearing that for 3 months, because 3 months was the last time we had any 380 in stock. Now, 9mm is the most popular caliber in the world, right? And the manufacturers that make both 9mm and 380 are the same manufacturer. So when you're in the middle of civil unrest and Corona, whatever the case may be, you want to make the most popular caliber in the world. So 9mm is being made, distributed, all of that stuff, at a slower rate because it's in a higher demand than ever, which is saying something. And 380 was kind of put on the back burner. But now that everybody everywhere is out of 380, now they're like, oh crap, we have to bring 380 back. So it's a whole ordeal. So that's something I've had to explain to people when they ask me why we don't have any, because I've had a lot of people get like personally angry at me when I tell them that we don't have any 380 in stock. They're like, well, why? Like, and it's like, I am a good customer service person. Do I lose my cool sometimes? Yes, but that's besides the point. That is what I've had to explain to people for 3 months because they don't understand. And it's like, honestly, I don't understand either, because 380 was never a caliber that flew off the shelf. I did not sell a lot of 380, but the thing is, like I said in the beginning, 380 is like a beginner's caliber. Lots of people learn on this, and I feel like with all of the new shooters that are coming along and people buying 380 firearms, I guess it makes sense, but it's just so weird to me because 380 was something that we never ran out of. And now it's in such high demand, like, I don't know what we're going to do when we get more, because we're going to be bombarded. We're going to have so many people running into the shop being like, oh my God, I need my 380. I don't know what we're going to limit it at. I don't know how much we're going to get. It's going to be crazy. I think it's coming up soon, because I have heard some rumors here and there that it's being manufactured and it's going to be shipped out soon. But that's from customers. They're like, well, I saw it on the website, but I don't want to pay like $1.50 a round for 380, which is apparently what some websites are charging, according to some customers that I've talked to, which is insane. That is way too much money. You should not be paying that. But I don't know if we're going to be getting any soon. And that is my answer on that. But what a lot of people do not understand, when we're in this pandemic, civil unrest, chaos in the country right now, it is so hard to get inventory that is in higher demand than ever right now. Like, a lot of people don't get the fact that firearms have to be made. Ammunition has to be made and then shipped and produced to not just our facility, to distributors across the entire country. And I've had to explain that to a lot of people because they don't get it. And because they just can't wrap their heads around the fact that this industry has been suffering from such a chaotic crisis since March that nobody's been able to catch up on it. So just for a little recap, when coronavirus really became the most popular headline on every news platform imaginable back in like very early March, that's when the panic buy kind of started, which is something that took my little shop by storm. Like, we did not expect that whole craziness to happen. It was nonstop for a week. Our inventory was wiped. Firearms, magazines, ammunition, everything was wiped. We had such a high volume of people in that store just panic buying because that's when the shutdowns happened, all of that kind of stuff. And it was crazy. It was a weird environment to work in. So that happened. March was busy. April/May kind of slowed down a little bit. We were kind of being able to catch up on everything. We got some ammunition coming in, some inventory coming in with firearms, all that kind of stuff. And then the whole George Floyd thing happened, and then the civil unrest came along, and then that's when everything just went straight back to hell again, and we weren't able to get anything or continue to keep anything in stock, which is honestly a shame because we had gotten to the point where we were able to keep some kind of ammunition on the shelves as well as firearms in our cases, and the riots just kind of wiped us of that once again. And ever since then, we haven't been able to catch up with it because at that point, a lot of manufacturers were like, well, we can't even fulfill orders from March and it's June now, and now we have even more orders backed up. So it's crazy. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who could kind of explain it a little better than I can and know a little bit more about the inside world as I do. Like, somebody like the owner of the shop that I work at would be able to go into amazing detail about why it is so hard, but me as an employee who has to kind of recite all of this to customers, I'd like to think I have a pretty good idea of what's going on. I also feel bad for a lot of the customers that I talk to because it's like, if I had an answer for you, trust me, I would tell you. But I just don't. I always resort to the same three things that I have to say about 380 or really anything that we're out of. I give the same response for all of them. And I feel bad. And it's like, I've straight up told some people, I'm like, look, if I had an answer for you, trust me, I'd share it with you. But I just don't. And people don't get it. Some people do, some people don't. I'm not saying the majority of the customers that I talk to don't get it, because actually the majority of them do. But there is a very small percentage of people that don't understand truly what it's like behind the scenes. Like, what happens before the ammo hits the shelf or whenever the firearm that I want goes in the display case. Like, nobody truly knows that unless you're in it and having to deal with a lot of the consequences that are coming from this. And it's crazy. And I do want to give a lot of kudos to the owner of the store that I work at, because he is incredible at what he does. And he gives people really good explanations on everything. So big kudos to him, because I go to him about what to tell customers pretty frequently, because he always knows exactly what to say. So big kudos to him for handling this insane time in America's history. Because honestly, if I knew when ammo was going to hit the shelves, or when we knew when your firearm was going to come in, I would tell you. Trust me, I would tell you, but I can't, because I don't know. The owner of the store doesn't even know. He sometimes sends us all messages in our work app, and he's like, hey, I'm expecting this ammo on this date and this much of it. And we'll be like, okay, but that's not all the time. Because even he doesn't get any shipment notifications. Sometimes he does, but not all the time. It's literally, we get it when we get it. We have no idea where it is. We don't know where it is in production. We get it when we get it. And then we have the wonderful, easy to deal with, just on top of everything, Illinois State Police, aka the ISP. And I'm not talking about the actual police officers. I'm talking about the office of the Illinois State Police. They deal with background checks that are run for firearm purchases, as well as FOID card and concealed carry applications. Now, for those of you who don't know, if you are an Illinois resident, and you want to purchase firearms or ammunition, you do have to be in possession of a FOID card, which is a firearm owner's identification card. Without that, as an Illinois resident, you cannot purchase firearms or ammunition. And Illinois is the only state in the U.S. that requires a separate card like this. Everywhere else, you can just use your license because that's the right way to do it, I guess. But some people have a love-hate relationship with the FOID card. I personally don't like it, but that's a whole different tangent. However, they're in, I think it was early April. This is just one of the crazy things that has happened with the ISP lately. But I believe in early April, they announced a, quote, disaster proclamation. So originally, during normal times, I guess, if your FOID card expired, so say it's like October, the expiration date for your card is October 1st, and it's October 2nd, and you try to buy ammunition and you didn't renew it, your FOID is expired. You are without a FOID card. You have to reapply and wait 90 days for that FOID card. Same thing with the concealed carry, except for the concealed carry, you would have to take another 16-hour concealed carry course, and that was by law. So that is during normal times, and I think that's the right way to do things. So in this, quote, disaster proclamation that they announced, it said that you have a 12-month grace period to renew your FOID and or your concealed carry card, and it would still be valid, which is like foreign territory for myself as well as the rest of my coworkers, because it's just, it's a such a sticky situation. I do not like it. There are a lot of people who have luckily submitted their renewals before the date of expiration on their card. So as long as they have their receipts saying that they submitted their renewal application before their FOID card actually expired, then that's okay. We're able to take it. We do just need to hold that receipt if they purchased a firearm, and we need to see it if they're purchasing ammunition. But there are a lot of people who kind of misunderstand the terms of it, and they just have an expired FOID card, and then they wonder why we turn it away, because we like to see the renewal form, whether or not you renewed it the date or before the date of expiration or after. We do need to see a receipt saying that you actually renewed it. But there are some people who come in with their FOID that expired before Corona even happened in like 2019, and they're like, oh yeah, but it's still valid. Well, number one, it was before the disaster proclamation was announced. Number two, you still need to renew it, because when you pull it up on your account, it's going to say that it's expired. So that is such a weird situation. It has caused so many complications with so many things, just applications in general, trying to, like me trying to explain it to other people so they kind of understand it. And just concealed carries, it's a mess. And I feel like I've been learning more about it for the past, God, like 7 months or so when it was announced. I've just been learning more about it, and it's been fine, I guess. But I mean, I just want to go back to normal terms with that, because it's what I know is right. And when the, quote, disaster proclamation ends, I don't know what's going to happen, because when, like, if you're renewing or applying for a concealed carry, you have to upload a certificate saying that you took the renewal or initial classes. So in Illinois, for a concealed carry, you have to take a 16-hour concealed carry course. If you pass it, you upload that certificate. And then 5 years later, you have to take a 3-hour renewal course to renew it. FOID cards last for 10 years, concealed carries last for 5. And there were a lot of people who were renewing their concealed carries without a certificate. And the way that the website works, there's no way for you to like go back and then upload a certificate later. However, the ISP is claiming that even if you didn't upload a certificate, they're going to come up with a way for you to upload one, which is kind of sketch to me, because I know how the ISP works and I'm really nervous slash like just curious to see how they move forward with this process, because I'm very familiar with how their website works and what to do with applications. out of my coworkers probably do it the most frequently. So I'm very familiar with it. And I just do not know from a technical standpoint how they're going to be able to do that, if they even are going to do that. Because for all I know, the ISP being the ISP can just be like, yeah, screw you, you didn't upload a certificate, so we're just going to reject you. So go take a class, come back next time. So that's a whole other situation. And then we have background checks. Now, in Illinois, it is a mandatory 72-hour wait on all firearms, pistols, rifles, lower receivers, 72 hours to the time on everything. And we obviously have to run a background check for everyone. So if there are a lot of background checks that do come back approved immediately, which means that person can just pick up at the earliest time possible, and some background checks come back pending. And again, during normal times, if a background check came back pending, it would come back either at the 72 hours or sometime beforehand. But with the extreme amount of volume of background checks that the ISP has been receiving for the past 7 months or so, pending background checks have been taking upwards right now of 7 to 10 days to come back approved. At some point, we were quoting between 13 to, I think, 16 days for a pending background check to come back approved. Now, a lot of people had a problem with this because obviously during times of corona and civil unrest, you want your firearm as soon as you can possibly get it, right? So I don't disagree with that, but there were a lot of people who were very upset that their background checks were taking that long, and they were blaming it on us when we had nothing to do with it. It's the ISP's problem. So the ISP actually, as of right now, is facing, I think, 3 lawsuits for the same thing. 3 separate lawsuits for the same thing, because a lot of people are arguing that their Second Amendment rights are being taken away from this, because we as a facility cannot release a firearm on a pending background check. Even if it's been the 72-hour wait, even longer than that, we cannot release a firearm on a pending background check. That's not okay, because there are a lot of pending background checks that do come back denied. And if we happen to give a pending background check a firearm to later find out that it came back denied, we would be in deep, deep trouble, and it would be a very big task in order to get that firearm back from a denied background check. But releasing a firearm on a pending background check is actually the store's decision if it's something that we would want to do or not, because it does state on, I think, the FBI website or even the ISP, maybe both, I'm not sure. It does state that if the customer has waited 72 hours, we are able to release it on a pending background check as long as they've gone through that waiting period. However, if the situation that I just explained were to occur, it would be our job as the store to try and get that firearm back. And that's not something that we want to get into potentially, which is why we choose to wait until that pending background check comes back approved, and then we go from there. And we had a lot of people call and tell us that, and then we would have to explain that situation to them, and they would understand. But a lot of people did kind of blame us for it when it was honestly out of our hands, because we run the background check. We don't choose whether it comes back approved or not. So we gave out the Illinois State Police number to a lot of people who were just taking forever to come back approved, because when we run a background check, it only lasts for 30 days. So if you wait more than 30 days to come and pick up your gun and your background check expired, we have to run another one. And it's a whole ordeal. The 30 days, that's fine. Nobody really cares about that. But the amount of time that people were waiting just for their background check to get approved was immense. And it still is. In March and April, it was terrible. Like I said, upwards of like 18 days. And now it's down to 7 to 10. So even now, when it's kind of slowing down a little bit, but not really, it's still 7 to 10 days, which is outrageous. Honestly, the amount of time that these people have to wait, I feel terrible. But so we were getting so many calls constantly, is my background check approved? Is my background check approved? Is my background check approved? And myself along with my coworkers would have to like go into where we keep all of the purchase guns, dig through all of them, find this person, check if their background check was approved. No. And it would take us forever to find all these guns between having to run back into the safe, dealing with customers that were actually in the store. And it became so much that one of us was finally like, okay, we either have to give these people their background check numbers, and then they call us with the number so we can just stay at our computers and run the background check to see if it's approved, or, which we actually did do. We did do that for a while, but then I think the owner of the store came up with creating this page on the store's website where we uploaded all of the background checks to, so the customers could actually check it themselves. And honestly, that is probably the best thing that anybody has ever thought of, because that has saved so many phone calls, so much time, so much frustration from both the employee as well as the customer just creating that website. So kudos to whoever thought about that. I believe it was actually the owner of the store. Kudos, because that saved so much time. And we're still using it today because, like I said, it's still taking forever for it to come back approved. So we're still uploading a ton of background checks a day to this website. And it's amazing. I'm so thankful for that. But the ISP is actually facing 3 separate lawsuits. I think it's 3. I don't think it's gone up to 4 yet, but it's 3 lawsuits regarding the same thing, that people are claiming that they're taking away their Second Amendment rights for taking so long with the background checks, all of that stuff. So I don't know how long the disaster proclamation is going to last, but when it ends, I'm sure myself and everybody else is going to be very happy about that. But then when you call the ISP complaining that your background check has yet to be approved, you have to sit on hold for 2.5 to 3 hours. I remember we have a really good customer. He was having issues with his application that I couldn't even fix, and I had to call the ISP on his behalf. And I sat on hold for 3 hours waiting to get an operator from the Illinois State Police. 3 hours. And I get customers after I give them the number to the ISP for their background checks. They come back, they're like, I was on hold for like half an hour and I didn't get anybody. And I felt bad because I would laugh, honestly, because that's not the first time that I've sat on hold with them for 2.5 to 3 hours. And they'd say a half an hour was a lot. And I'd say, look, if you need an operator, you need to sit there for 3 hours. And then they would laugh back at me. And they're like, you're kidding, right? I said, no, unfortunately, I'm dead serious, because if you want to get an actual person and not an automated message, you have to sit there. So by all means, clean your house, take a drive, whatever it takes, but it is a very long time and you have to have a lot of patience to sit there and wait for an actual person to pick up the phone. It is a pain, which again is why they're in the middle of 3 lawsuits. So hopefully this gave you kind of an idea of what has been happening basically ever since the beginning of 2020. We've all been in this for about 8-ish months at this point, and it's just going to continue on because we're less than a month away from the election at this point, and things are just going to get worse. And then after the election, there's Black Friday, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, all of these gift giving seasons. Side note, I love the holidays, so nothing can really dim that for me. However, this craziness is just going to continue until hopefully the beginning of 2021, when everything just kind of dies down a bit. But nothing is set in stone. Whatever happens, happens. All I know is it's still crazy, and it's going to be for a while still. As cheesy as this might sound, and if any of my coworkers are listening, they're not going to believe me at all, but I am very thankful for this whole experience. I think what has caused it is very unfortunate, whether it be COVID-19 or the civil unrest. The causes are unfortunate. However, I am very thankful for this kind of life experience that all of this has given me, just patience and pushing through with the amount of days that myself as well as my coworkers worked, like 13 to 14 hour days, multiple days a week. It's very taxing, and the amount of work that needed and still needs to be done is immense, because we're facing something that nobody has ever seen before in this industry, and I think at all, really. And I wouldn't want to work anywhere else, because I don't want to deal with toilet paper people, honestly. I feel bad for the people who work at like Walmart or Target or something and having to deal with that kind of craziness, but I am very appreciative with this. It has taught me so much, and I'm going to carry all of this with me through the rest of my life, because it's an experience that was unfortunate and is unfortunate at times, but in the end, I'm gonna take it with me for the rest of my life. Everything that I've learned from the craziness that was and is still 2020. With that, I'm going to bring an end to today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any questions about the industry that I didn't touch on in today's episode, please email me, pewsandpolitics@gmail.com. I'd be more than happy to answer whatever questions you may have. And let me know if you would listen to an episode with one of my coworkers in it, just to hear a second opinion on this whole situation, because I think that would be a pretty cool episode that I would love doing. So if that's something you would be into, let me know. But for now, I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for listening. Bye.